Brother E.C. Moore of the Berean Bible Study Association in Pensacola, Florida, three mystery things you need to know. Here's Brother Moore.
It is not our aim to try to please people. It is our aim to try to preach the Word of God rightly divided. Now, we've been talking to you about the mystery. And the reason had to do with showing you that you ought to follow the Apostle Paul. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And to follow the Apostle Paul and to follow Christ, an individual would need to know a mystery. This mystery having to do with Christ dying for our sins. Now read with me in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. He said, "Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, praying with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And all the years that I've been saved since 1955, and in all the assemblies that I've been in, and all the preaching that I've heard from denominational preachers, on television and otherwise, I've never heard one preacher, denominational preacher now, I've never heard one of them ask that people pray for him, that a door of utterance be opened so he could preach the mystery. Paul had a secret. Paul had a mystery, a secret. It is a secret that had been kept secret since the world began. It was revealed to the Apostle Paul, and Paul begins to preach it. Now, I said a couple of weeks ago, I believe, that in dealing with this mystery, that there are three basic things that I want to refer to first. Number one, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Number two, that salvation for the Gentiles is without Israel. In other words, this mystery now would be that God would save Gentiles without the help of Israel. And number three, that there is a joint body of Jew and Gentile saved by grace through faith. These things were a mystery, is ordained of God before the foundation of the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice in verse 6, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world." Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, the fact was a secret hid from the foundation of the world. Look in Romans chapter 16. In Romans 16, verse 25, "Now to him that is a part establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." Well, what was that mystery kept secret since the world began? That Jesus Christ would die for your sins. Now that establishes the individual. I have never known yet, up to this point, in all these years I've been saved, I have never met one Church of Christ, Pentecostal, on and on and on. I've never met these people that are established. The Church of Christ preaches that repent of your sins, believe in Jesus Christ, be baptized for remission of sins, hold out to the end, and that hope that someday you'll be saved. Now, that is not being established. The Bible tells me that Jesus Christ died for your sins. The Bible said that he died for sinners. The Bible said that he died for the ungodly. Jesus Christ paid for your sins at Calvary. An individual who believes this real truth, who understands this truth, is established. You can't shake his faith. One time I was talking to a Church of Christ preacher. And what if you went up to heaven and stood in the before God at the judgment, and God said, "Take this man and cast him into hell"? What would you say? And that Church of Christ preacher said, "There wouldn't be anything I could say." I said, "There'd be something I could say if that happened to me." And he said, "That's blasphemous. I I said, no, it isn't blasphemous. I believe the Bible. And the Bible said, believe on the Lord. You cannot be God and cast me into hell. Why? Jesus Christ suffered hell for me. Jesus Christ suffered damnation for my sins. He was judged in my behalf. God found him guilty in my behalf. And God crucified him in my behalf. My sins are paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm redeemed by his blood. And God Almighty cannot say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you, because he does know me, and he knows me as one that believes in his Son as my Lord and Savior. I'm not afraid to stand in judgment today. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to face Almighty God. Why? Not because I'm a good person, but because Jesus Christ paid for my sins at Calvary. The denominational system as a whole today does not establish people in the truth. You want to be established? Then believe that Christ paid for your sins. Trust the fact that God gave his Son at Calvary as a sacrifice for you, and that he redeemed you at Calvary, and that all your sins are paid for, and that God will never bring you into judgment for your sins. For your works as a Christian, yes. But for your sins, no. Jesus Christ took care of your sins at Calvary. The work is finished. The work is done. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But as a child of God, it's up to you to work good for the Lord. For we must all, saved people, we must all, Christian people, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether they be good or bad, on and on and on. In other words, we that are saved are going to stand at a judgment for saved people and be judged for our works as saved people. Not to see whether we're cast into hell or not, but to see whether we receive crowns of glory or not. No, sir. You can't shake an individual's faith that truly believes that all their sins were taken care of at Calvary. But some individual who believes that he got saved by repentance and water baptism and holding out and being a good person, they didn't have the faith that is referred to, that Paul said, I kept the faith. They didn't have that in the first place. Excuse me. God can't cast you away if you turn your case over to the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all were dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 8 that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. The mystery? Christ died for your sins. The mystery that Christ paid for your sins, that he took care of your sins at Calvary. That was a mystery ordained of God before the foundation of the world. Number two, this mystery has to do with the fact that salvation for the Gentiles is without the help of Israel. Turn to Romans 11. I look in Romans 11, we'll start in verse 11. Romans 11, verse 11 says, I say then, if they stumble that they should fall, reference to the nation Israel now, God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them, Israel, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? In other words, through Israel's fall, salvation came to the Gentiles, not through Israel's rise. Now, think about something. Back there in Exodus, God Almighty called Moses up into Mount Sinai, and he said, Moses, go speak unto my people and tell Israel, if you'll obey my covenants and keep my commandments, you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people of the earth. All the earth is mine. And you'll be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Well, then God exalted Israel above the Gentiles, not physically, but politically and spiritually. And God Almighty gave them a ministry. But Israel turned away from the Lord, and God sent the prophets unto them, and finally sent Jesus Christ unto them. Jesus Christ is their Messiah, but they didn't recognize him as their Messiah. Instead, they said, crucify this man. We have no king but Caesar. Now, God Almighty had said a lot of things about their position back there. In other words, they were to be over the Gentiles, they were to be above the Gentiles, and the Gentiles could come unto God through their ministry. But that didn't happen. They began to try to act like the Gentiles, worship the idols of the Gentiles, and so after they rejected Christ, the Bible said, through their fall, salvation came unto the Gentiles. In other words, in spite of them, salvation came unto the Gentiles. But what I want you to see is that according to Old Testament prophecy, Gentiles would be saved through Israel. So I'm going to come on the other side of the board over here, and at a time in the future, we know that Elijah is going to come to Israel. Jesus said Elijah truly must first come and restore all things. The prophecy of Malachi is that Elijah is going to come before the great and coming day of the Lord, and he's going to minister unto them. So they're going to repent, and they're going to rise again to reign over the nations. All right, during that period of time, the Lord is going to come back again. He's going to come, the devil is going to be chained in the bottomless pit, and for 1,000 years, Christ is going to reign over the nation Israel and over the Gentiles, and Gentiles will be able to come to God through that nation at that time. Turn in your Bible, please, to Isaiah chapter 2. Now, there is nothing hard about this. It's just a matter of believing the Bible. In Isaiah, notice in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he'll teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Why, you know that that isn't taking place during this age we're living in today. Anybody that thinks that the law is going out of Zion today and from Jerusalem, and that Israel is teaching people salvation or whatever, you got a problem. No way is that happening. Verse 4, "And he, that is the Lord, shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Why, obviously, nation is against nation today. Israel is learning war every day, and they're wanting people to send them arms and whatever. No way can you say that Isaiah chapter 2 is taking place. It is not. But that isn't all. Notice in Isaiah chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 11, there's a reference to the Lord himself. Jesus Christ will reign as supreme over them. Notice something about that time. Verse 6, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. A bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox." And let me tell you right now, I am a country boy, and I know something about animals, and I know that that isn't taking place right now. Verse 10, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign to the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Turn, please, to Zechariah. In Zechariah, notice in chapter 8. And if you have a problem with finding Zechariah, then go to Matthew and back up two books. Zechariah chapter 8, and notice in verse 20, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord." Why, you couldn't find the Lord in Jerusalem if you sought it with a magnifying glass. God Almighty is not in Jerusalem. He is not dwelling in Jerusalem right now. Jesus Christ has ascended up above all heavens, and he's dealing with us from that position through the gospel of Christ today. No, there is a time prophesied when Gentiles would be saved through the rise of Israel. Israel as a nation would bring the Gentiles unto Almighty God after Christ comes again. But people get the thing all confused. So what's the mystery? The mystery is that salvation would come to Gentiles through the fall of Israel. In other words, there would be a time then when Jew and Gentile were all the same, and that is referred to as none good, no, not one. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, we'll start reading in verse 9. Romans 3:9. What then? Are we a reference to Jews? Both Jews and Gentiles, they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. On and on and on. Come to verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. On and on and on. In other words, then, God Almighty is saving Gentiles today in spite of Israel. God is saving Gentiles today through the fall of Israel. And that's contrary to the prophecy of Isaiah, Zechariah, Ezekiel, and other Old Testament prophets. They prophesied that the Lord will come again, that He will establish His throne. He'll sit upon the throne of David, and the nations shall be gathered together, and He'll judge among the nations. And then Jesus Christ will reign over Israel, and Israel will reign over the nations, and the nations will come to Israel, and they'll say, we've heard that the Lord is with you. We've come to seek the Lord and to find the Lord, for we believe that He's with you, and on. Not so today. Israel is lo am I today. Israel is not God's people today. And there is no distinctive difference today between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm talking about a mystery. What is this mystery? This mystery is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that you can be saved right now if you'll trust Christ. This mystery is that the church is not Israel. The church is not spiritual Israel. The church is not the rise of Israel. And through the rise of spiritual Israel, which is supposed to be the church, Gentiles can be saved. No way. In Christ there's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and on. Turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Corinthians. And look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. In other words, we don't know people today as Jew or Gentile. We just know them as people. All have sinned. What difference it make whether you're black, white, or yellow? What difference it make whether you're a Jew or Greek? What difference it make about your background anyhow? All have sinned. And there is none good, no, not one. There's not one just person on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What difference does it make about your genealogy anyhow? You're no good. Your mom and daddy weren't any good. Your grandmom and your granddaddy weren't any good. And your grandchildren aren't any good. Why? Because there are none that are good. And all that business about my genealogy and I came from this and I... That don't make any difference today. All have sinned. Salvation is not through one nation of people today, beloved. Salvation is through the fact that Christ died for your sins. The Lord crucified him at Calvary, buried him, and justification is free to you if you'll believe the truth. Preach it anymore. Salvation is free. You don't have to work for it. Jesus Christ did the work for you. Salvation for the Gentiles is without the nation Israel. Turn, please, to 1 Timothy. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 2. How in the world can you take 1 Timothy chapter 2 and believe what it says? Believe Isaiah 2 and Isaiah 11 and say that they're saying the same things. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 is a reference to God our Savior. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The mediator between God and men is not a woman, beloved. It's the matrix. The mediator between God and men is not Mary. The mediator between God and men is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ hang on Calvary, and God, through Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them. How can you get to God? You can get to God through Jesus Christ. All that business about Mary, Mother of God, hear our prayer, won't get anything for you. Not one thing, except favor among the denomination that believes that. Jesus Christ is the mediator. There is one mediator. His name is Jesus, and he's God. God Almighty hang at Calvary. God Almighty shed his blood for you. God Almighty redeemed people. You can be saved through Jesus Christ. Without him, there is no salvation. But that isn't all. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Folks, there ain't no difference today. Jew and Gentile are one and the same. Black, white, yellow, pink, golden, or whatever. They're all the same. Jesus Christ gave himself at Calvary to pay for the sins of people. You want to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God will save you. Then the third thing, this mystery now. What is the mystery? That Christ died for our sins. Number two, that through the fall of Israel, salvation came unto us. Number three, that there is a joint body of Jew and Greek, Jew and Gentile, that lose their distinction in Christ as Jew and Gentile. Now, it is clear that God Almighty exalted Israel above the nations. It is clear that they remained exalted above the nations until they said, away with this man, crucify this man, we have no king but Caesar. It is true, according to the Scripture, that they will rise again. It is true, according to the Scripture, that Gentiles will come to God through them. But not today. Today, there is a body of believers that is called the church, which is his body. It is a joint body, and all in that body are equal by faith in Christ. But let's look at Israel. Turn back in your Bible, please, to Deuteronomy, and look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy 28, notice in verse 1, Deuteronomy 28:1 says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the words of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, this is Moses that is talking in the context. He's talking to Israel, gathered together there at that time. And he's saying, God's going to lift you up on high. That's back there after he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now notice some things he said unto them. Verse 12, the Lord shall open to thee his good treasure of the heaven to give the rain unto the land in this season, to bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. But that's not true today, and you know it. Why, the nations of this world are helping Israel today in their land. They're lending them arms and planes and ships and on and on. You know it's true. Verse 13, the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only. Thou shalt not be beneath. But since A.D. 70, Israel has been underneath. Titus with the Roman army went in there in A.D. 70, burned the city to the ground, scattered Israel among the nations, and they haven't had any power since then. They haven't been a head of nations since then. Verse 14, thou shalt not go aside from me of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And he goes on and tells them what will happen to them if they do that. Notice in chapter 28, verse 43. In other words, if they don't obey the Lord, then something would happen. The stranger that was in thee shall get up above thee very high. Thou shalt come down very low, as in this period of time that we're living in now. Verse 44, he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, thou shalt be the tail, and on and on. It is clear, there is no doubt about it, that Israel is not exalted anymore. Now, if Israel believes in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, if one Jew trusts Christ and one Gentile trusts Christ, what about them? Well, they become one in one body. Turn, please, to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, notice in verse 26. Galatians 3:26, for you all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, you're all one in Christ Jesus. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, notice in verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, and on. There is a body of believers in here, folks, and that body of believers is called the church, which is the body of Christ. Christ is the head of that body, and in that body there is neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Gentile, but Jew and Gentile, when they trust Christ, by the Spirit are baptized into that body. It is a spiritual body made up of spiritual believers trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved. What's the mystery? Christ died for your sins. Salvation is through the fall of Israel, not through their rise. And that now in this age, there is a joint body of believers called the body of Christ that trust Christ as their Savior, believing He died for their sins, was buried and rose again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.
Okay, thank you, Brother Moore. 3 mystery things you need to know.